On Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell hosts the Engagement Hour. Wednesday, our friend Grant Kruger from Union Public House talks about food and politics. And on Thursdays, Tom Moulton talks about great visitor attractions in Tucson. Then on Friday, we talk to our friends, people in business that we know, and success stories for people who have done good things in Tucson and organizations that have also done good things. With us this morning is a good friend, Don Bruhart, Director of Restaurants at Hacienda del Sol. Good morning, Don.
Ned, good to see you again.
Well, great. And Chef Ramon Delgado, who is the executive chef at Hacienda. Welcome.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Good morning, Ned.
Well, you guys are at a fantastic historical property, Hacienda del Sol, which is, I guess it's called a guest ranch resort. What a great history. Do you want to, Don, just tell us a little bit about the history of Hacienda del Sol?
Sure, Ed. I think a lot of people in Tucson understand the history and the significance of Hacienda del Sol with the community. But it started over 100 years ago in the 1920s as a girls' school.
Right.
And some of the girls that attended that school were well-to-do. So, example of some of the names, the Vanderbilts, the Kellogg's, the Maxwell Westinghouse, just to name a few. And it carried on up until the 1940s, excuse me. And then it transformed into a guest ranch. And that's when a lot of the Hollywood elite would come out, you know, John Wayne and Clark Gable,
right.
Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn.
Right.
So there's just so much rich history at the Hacienda and so many pictures from that era that line the walls.
We talk about Greenfield's Country Day School, which is over on the other side, down the river, that the boys from Greenfield's would ride their horses along the river and come down and have social functions with the girls at the Hacienda, and that was kind of a big deal for them to plan those joint events, you know, and the kids, the boys that were at Greenfields were also the hoi polloi and they all had horses, so they would jump on their horses and go down. Very cool.
That's excellent.
So when did it transform into more of a guest ranch, and is that in the 40s when it kind of transitioned into more of a hotel and guest ranch?
So transitioned into a guest ranch in the 40s, and through the 50s, and it kind of got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, there were a couple decades there that it really didn't grow and didn't have a lot going on until, in the 70s, then it became, more guest ranch and a little bit more exciting. And and then in the 90s, a group of local investors got together and created what the Hacienda del Sol is today.
Right. Were there, obviously there were some restaurants, but not like what you have today. Were there restaurants there before in the 40s and 50s?
Yes, throughout the time, they always have a type of dining. Yes, so most of the time it would be like what it represents the Southwest, where you have cookouts, basically,
cookouts,
a barbecue pit.
That makes sense.
Yes, absolutely, doing a lot of that. But they will have some, we have some proof that there were some guests, chefs coming in to work for seasonally, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be sustaining, for all the guests that they'll be there.
I can imagine those people from Chicago and from New York that were coming in, that bring a chef with them. And while they're enjoying the sunshine in Tucson in February, they have some outside cookouts and so forth.
Yeah.
That's great. excuse me, the transition over the last, decade or so with the brand new facilities that are out there and the construction that happened for a while. It's a beautiful facility now. It's amazing.
It is, Ed. And we have 99 rooms, large rooms, suites. Mm-hmm. We also have 3 pools on property.
Mm-hmm.
One of those pools, the Catalina pool, we have a bar at that pool. And then down at the Rincon pool, which is the other newer pool, where the fitness center is also located.
Right. And then you have, of course, the last time I was there for a function, and you have some meeting space, both downstairs and upstairs, up on the parking lot level too. You have some pretty big meeting space places for gatherings.
We do. The sales and catering department is doing a great job of mm-hmm. keeping those filled. So we have some banquet space, the Casa Luna, Casa Feliz, So we do some good functions there. We did a Mardi Gras, about a week ago, had a great success. That was the first time we did a Mardi Gras event. So we're going to create that as another annual event that we do at Hacienda del Sol.
So a little backstory of my brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, is the director of the Tucson Boys Chorus. He's been there for 47 years, I think, 45 years. And the Boys Chorus is 85 years old, but we filmed a beautiful holiday program with traditional Christmas music with the touring chorus of the Boys Chorus. And guess where we did it? We did it at White Stallion Ranch and Hacienda del Sol.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome.
And so we have some beautiful, beautiful scenes of one of the smaller gathering rooms, and then out in that courtyard, which is absolutely gorgeous. That courtyard is beautiful.
We have two courtyards, Ed. We have an inner courtyard and then the outer courtyard, and we utilize those when we do our large events, which is for the community. I mean, we really get the community engaged. With Zen Blues, for example, is our big event we do in October, and we utilize the all space.
Right.
We're using the inner courtyard, the outer courtyard, Casa Feliz, Casa Luna.
So the one that looks to the west, is that the outer courtyard, the one that's just off the pathway there to the...
That is the outer courtyard, and then the inner courtyard is in between where the historic rooms are.
Right, and those historic rooms are the original rooms for the hotel.
Yes. And those are still available to guests. Actually, a lot of people,
they request
year after year, yes.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention the beautiful settings for weddings. Property is a premier property for weddings.
Yeah.
Beautiful sunsets and... the guests that just create a memorable
great
experience.
Backdrop, yeah.
Yes, right. Indeed.
And beautiful place to take a wedding party photos, too. So
it is. We have a lot of that go on there.
Oh, yes.
When they're taking the pictures. Well, when we come back after the break, what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about the wonderful food options, the restaurants and things that are available, and what Chef Ramon is cooking up out at Hacienda del Sol. And so we'll be back in just a minute to talk with Don Brewhart and Executive Chef Ramon Delgado from Hacienda del Sol. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOA 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley, your host, and our guests today are Don Brewhart, who is the director of restaurants at Hacienda del Sol, and with us also is executive chef Ramon Delgado of, did I say that right? Ramon Delgado.
That is correct,
good?
Yes.
Que bueno.
A lot of ours, but yes.
So let's talk a little bit about, Don, you're the director of restaurants, and chef, you're obviously as I say, cooking up a storm out there. Let's talk a little bit about the restaurants and what you have, and then talk a little bit about the food that you have. So you have a couple of award-winning restaurants that you have at Hacienda?
We do, Ed. And, the most popular and our favorite is the Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grill just has incredible views of Tucson and the Catalina Mountains.
Yes.
And providing the upscale service and the amazing cuisine that Chef Ramon and his culinary team put together for our guests. The Grill, it's a AAA four diamond restaurant and dining room. The excellence certificate from TripAdvisor. We're rated number one resort in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
We also the Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice Award.
Right.
So we have a lot of accolades, and one of our most favorite is Wine Spectator. The award, the best of excellence,
mm-hmm.
and our wine menu is incredible. One of the best in the state of Arizona.
And you're also part of the City of Gastronomy too, right?
We are. We're a certified restaurant with City of Gastronomy. And Chef Ramon, works diligently to source local products and ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll speak more of that around with the food. Mm-hmm. You can get your reservations at the Grill on Open Table.
Mm-hmm.
Or call.
Right.
And we also
Or be like me and just bust
and
in like
just show
I did.
Up.
Yeah.
Right. And we'll always make room for you, Ed.
Okay.
We just had an incredible week of Valentine's Day.
Right.
It's just what an incredible time, to come out and enjoy the Grill and have a romantic dinner. Valentine's night. It was on a Wednesday this year, right. but we were packed.
Yeah.
We just had an incredible night. The team and the culinary team did an amazing job. The service team did an amazing job. It was nonstop. And we were all a little tired that night.
It sure is a wonderful place to go and experience fine dining in Tucson and casual dining, too, out on the patio. It's fun as well. So, Chef, tell us a little bit about your specialties. And I'm looking at the menu here. It's pretty amazing. I see a couple things that I want to have right this very second, which is the...
Yes.
I'm Catholic, so the Oyster Marketplace and the Seafood Tower are staring at me right now for Friday.
Oh, absolutely, so. Yes. Come in Friday, absolutely. Today, we would love to have you, and just about half of Tucson, we're ready for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Since 1997, the property and the grill has been open, and it has been carried over, a new... California and new American cuisine, basically, with just a lot of touches of Southwest, basically, creating some very spectacular plates over the years of people. They just keep coming back to them. Now, though, I mean, the helm just creating a menu that they're pleased with it. The culinary team has been able to carry over, and people has been quite liking it a lot.
Right, that's good.
Absolutely. For example, we always have to have, the beautiful center of the plate steaks and a prime rib, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some fresh seafood as well, halibut, salmon, and then we do a lobster as well. And we present a beautiful bouillabaisse as well that it just cannot take it off the menu. It's absolutely a bestseller.
Is the seafood theme for Friday. Is the lobster a daily thing you have every day, or is it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're carrying specials as well. And yes, we present it in a risotto with scallops and lobster. We also have it as a side dish, if you will, to enhance your entree, your steak. And also we do, a beautiful shrimp flight, by the way. We present it in three different ways. It has a Cajun style, and then we do a traditional shrimp cocktail. And then we do it wrapped in bacon, just to kind of represent a little bit of
that sounds delicious.
Something that's coming straight.
Everything's better with bacon.
Yeah, yeah, Rocky exactly. Point. Exactly. Absolutely, it's quite well represented. Also, I want to make sure that talk about our terraza patio and lounge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Just a beautiful place where we had the opportunity to showcase. We actually just recently created a menu to enhance us as being a certified restaurant for the City of Gastronomy via UNESCO. We have been designated. Quite some years now, Tucson is becoming just quite a touchstone for the city, where every Mexican restaurant, quite proud of them, because they're really exalted, Mexican cuisine, the Southwest cuisine. And of course, we have those offerings too for our guests.
Mm-hmm.
We always have the chile rellenos, for example. We have chicken enchiladas. We have a beautiful pork tenderloin with adobo. And some of those flavors, we have also a chile colorado, a beef braise, that is absolutely fork tender. It's delicious. And has been well accepted. People that they look forward to that. The locals and actually people coming from other parts of the world, that they're coming in and they know about the City of Gastronomy. And we talk it up. We're proud of that.
Right. So, Don, Hacienda del Sol has some great events coming up in the next... next month, basically in March. You want to talk about a couple of the big events you have coming up?
Absolutely, Ed. March, is going to be a big month this year. Easter falls in March this year. So we'll start off at the end of March there with an Easter buffet that Chef is creating, just dynamic food options for that. And that'll be a resort-wide event for us.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Patrick's Day party, we're going to have a live band, Irish music. We're going to have some great Irish food that Chef and his team's putting together, and we're going to serve that out in our Perea, which is outside of the terraza.
Right.
And also a lot of diners in Tucson may not know this, but our terraza grill is actually al fresco dining, which we can open it up. We can open up our walls, open up our ceiling. You're outside,
right?
And it's just a great experience, especially in our beautiful weather that we have out here in Tucson. We had it opened up yesterday. So with those events, St. Patrick's Day, that's going to be big. We also do wine dinners. Every month we do a wine dinner. The next wine dinner coming up in March is going to be from Napa Valley. Quintessa, for those that are knowledgeable about our wines, and right, that's the Junius family out of Napa Valley. They also have some wineries up in Oregon as well. And then we're going to kick off in March our first beer dinner, and you know we're gonna kind of focus on our local breweries. So our first beer dinner we'll have Dragoon Brewery. We're going to partner with them. Our chef culinary team's created a great menu to pair with their beer, just like our culinary team put some great pairings with our wines. So on our way, go to our website and just browse through there, because we have events all year long that the community is invited to.
HaciendaDelSol.com, right?
That is correct.
Where they go to find out. And in terms of making reservations and so forth, they can go online to Open Table, or but they could also call you. And since Colagard Classic is coming up too during that time frame, and the 8th and 9th, you'll be you got a perfect vantage point for what, the fifth fairway there. You look down on top of it. So
we'll be watching.
Yeah,
you know, right outside the grill, you know, we have a patio area. It's called Sandy's Vista,
right?
And Sandy's Vista is a great viewing area for that hole. And, you know, we're kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
And also, our Catalina Pool has a beautiful view right of that same hole. So you can be, you know, enjoying the pool or the jacuzzi and watching some golf at the same time.
That's pretty amazing. Well, Hacienda del Sol has some a major rich history associated with it. It has an incredible amount of just people that have been there over the years, and just historical perspective. For the people that don't know exactly where it is, where is it located specifically? How do you get there?
So we're on Hacienda del Sol Boulevard, or road, and that's 5501. So you can get there off of River Road, which you go past St. Phillips Plaza when you're heading east, and that stoplight there is Hacienda. Or when you're on Sunrise, you're coming past La Paloma, or you're coming from the Swan area, and you'll turn in there. There's no light there, but you can get through with the traffic.
And everybody is turning there because they're all going to Hacienda del Sol.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So we got some great things coming our way. I think I'm going to come out and enjoy some of that
some of the seafood.
At Seafood Tower with lobster tails and shrimp cocktail and crab legs and oysters and mussels. That is amazing. And the price point is pretty amazing as well.
You know, what time should I put you down for a reservation?
Yes, there you go. I'll bring Matt Neely with me, because he's got his thumbs up over there saying that sounds like great. Well, if there was one thing that you wanted to leave listeners with about Hacienda del Sol, and whether it be from you, Don, the restaurant director of restaurants, or from you, Ramon, the executive chef, what would you want people to know about Hacienda del Sol?
You know, people should know Hacienda del Sol, we cater to everyone. You know, if you want to have a great dining experience, and you want the atmosphere and the ambiance that is just so relaxing, and the views are amazing, you know, the sunsets from the grill, and then the city nights of Tucson. So I think what you take away there is you just have a relaxing experience, and we try to do it in a way that's upscale and unobtrusive.
Right. And what would you say?
To me as well, I think something worth mentioning is our staff. I think all the associates that work with us, great group of people. From the moment you go in valet, the moment you go to the front desk, the people greeting you at the restaurants, it's just such a warm, great people, amicable. And they make you feel welcome. So always, we have that at the top of our minds, you know, always to greet people, to make them sure they're welcoming it and thanking them for being here with us. But as well, just to kind of appreciate the decades, if you will, of this property that's been in Tucson, and the passion that the ownership has for it, and it reflects well. So we're very glad to and fortunate to be there.
Well,
absolutely.
Jump in Tucson is about Tucson's success stories, and certainly Hacienda del Sol ranks right up there with one of those great places that people should go and visit, and jump into the restaurants and have some experience of a lifetime. So thank you both.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ed, for coming today. We really appreciate it. We'll be back after a word from our great sponsors. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Monday, our University of Arizona Wonder Show will feature some pretty good information that we'll have for you. We have a young lady that is doing campus research for Campus Health Services. Andy is her name, by the way. She has the same name as my wonderful sister. And then we'll also have Dr. Caleb Simmons on Monday, who will talk to us about Arizona Online. This portion of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about health and about, we're talking about campus health on Monday. We're talking about child health and human health here a little bit. Our guest for this segment is Ursula Conway. She's the president of the Arizona Chapter of Children's Health Defense, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Before we get into talking a little bit about that, Ursula, let's talk about your journey, about your lifestyle, and how you got into this, what brought you to this point of wanting to be an advocate for children's health.
Well, first, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak out. It's an interesting journey because at no point was I ever an activist, I ever engaged politically. But early on, in fact, beginning when I was 18 and again later in my 30s, I had some medical experiences that caused me to become a skeptic, to realize that you need to be your own advocate. Mm-hmm. You need to be aware of what current developments are in the medical field. Around the same time, I made some significant changes in my own lifestyle, including mindfulness and meditation, and significantly altering my diet from standard American. So I'd been on this kind of parallel path to the rest of the world for some time. Then, I hope I'm not taking too much time.
No, you're doing great.
Then I...
It's hard to talk about yourself sometimes, it
is.
Isn't it? Yeah, I know.
A real milestone for me was meeting someone whose son was vaccine injured. And the conversation didn't even start there. We were simply having a conversation about, you have young kids, do you vaccinate, don't you? How would you pick which ones? And this woman was adamant, and she was quite young. She was adamant that she wouldn't vaccinate at all, and told a story of her son who was perfectly developing, went and had the well baby shots, and the next day was no longer responsive, wouldn't make eye contact, completely nonverbal, and the symptoms progressed from there. So that got my attention. And already being a skeptic, I began doing research. And this dates back to the 90s and 2000s. Mm-hmm. So I've been in the field for a long time. Then I observed within my own family the generations of kids and how they seem to have a lot more stuff wrong with them, from allergies to asthma to anxiety to tics to diabetes. And so I was just being observant.
Right.
And then COVID came along, and I was shocked that the government decided they had more say over my body than I did, that mm-hmm. they were going to mandate what was going in my body. So that's what brought me to action, was this whole series of things over my life. But the switch was right. COVID.
It's interesting how personal, your personal perspective, any person's personal perspective is important in their journey of vax or no vax and getting shot with the COVID vaccine and all that. Just as an aside, my father, when he was a young man, contracted polio, but it was a mild case, and he was fine, and it didn't affect him. But he was, it was an important part, and so you know, having the kids get polio vaccine was almost a missionary thing on his part, because he had been through it and knew what it was. And then later on, we had an older brother. I actually never knew him. I was born after he passed away. He died from the Asian flu. And so, you know, I always promised my mom that I would always get a flu vaccine, because they had experienced this tragedy of losing a child because of the flu. But I'm with you with the COVID vaccine, especially the experimental nature of the three companies that were putting out the major vaccines. It was a little tenuous there for a while to decide if you were going to get a Pfizer vaccine or which one you were going to get. And then the political ramifications of getting injected or you lose your job is also was, you know, it politicized the thing as much as it was a personal decision. The government then it turned into a political issue. So you got involved in the Children's Health Defense Arizona chapter. Tell us a little bit about that organization, and now you're the president. So how did that all come about?
Children's Health Defense has been around for quite some time and has been focused on the health of kids. We generally talk about we're living in a toxic soup because the issue isn't just vaccines or just glyphosate. There are so many components, including electromagnetic radiation. So I had been...
Which you're probably getting in this studio right now.
Without a doubt. It's pretty hard to avoid if you live in the current world.
Yeah.
So there are so many influences, and I had been following Children's Health Defense. They made the decision to develop state chapters so that they would have boots on the ground who could mm-hmm. get involved with the state assemblies, watch legislation, and frankly, educate communities. So as soon as I saw that that chapters were being opened, I started responding, corresponding, saying, hey, let me know about Arizona. I want to be involved. And initially, I just came on as a volunteer, and I have a reasonably successful business background. And so the skills were able to be applied to this organization. And then I was secretary, and then the position of president became available. And
well, this is an important thing because, you know, you call it Generation Sick. Over 50% of adolescents are have something. At least that's what is purported, that they've got some kind of illness, whether that be a slight degree of asthma or something more major. And so it's something to worry about, right? Because health and wellness of children is really important.
It's absolutely important. Think about how you enjoy your life. And if you're afflicted with something as simple as allergies, do you go outside? How do you manage the allergies? Does it make you sleepy? So every one of the chronic illnesses minimizes your ability to enjoy your life. And for us not to be focused on having the healthiest kids we can is just a mystery to me. I couldn't stand by and not be involved in that.
But that goes not only to vaccines, but that goes to just health in general and exercise and diet and outlook and perceptions of the world and so forth too, right?
Completely agree. Yeah. It's the whole ball of wax, from your home environment to the food that gets put on your table. There are so many elements.
Even as
of
simple
it.
Things as you know, enforcing the seatbelt use and the child safety seats and helmets on bicycles and any way that you can protect your child is an important part of this whole process. And vaccines is one of the issues, but it's not the only issue.
Right. And I would make the distinction that something like a car seat is not related to chronic illness. So while they're important, that's not really something that we're focused on. Of course, we would encourage the use of any safety restraint, but we're really looking at the chronic illnesses and making sure people understand what they are and trying to hold the government accountable. What are you doing? We pay a lot of taxes to support all those agencies. What are they doing to identify the causes of that chronic illness?
Right. And we could get into a political discussion, which we don't have to, but we could get into a political discussion about the COVID vaccines and the mandates that came out and how, you know, one side of the camp thinks that was manipulation more than it was inoculation. And then the other side of the camp that says, well, you know, maybe we save some lives that way. So, but to your point, it's that personal decision that's important, that the parents have the right to maintain that perception of what is right for their child, correct?
Oh, we strongly believe in parental rights. It should be the parents of the child making decisions on their behalf.
And how do you go about, your organization go about making sure that the Children's Health Defense is, that you're defending that right?
Well, first and foremost is education. Wherever mm-hmm. we go, we try and talk with people and educate them about the risks and reward decision-making. We have been involved at the state legislature monitoring bills that are coming forward, working with some of the legislators to support the legislation that we think is appropriate.
Well, that's great. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit about an event you have coming up this Sunday And we'll talk a little bit about the Vax Bus and some other things, too. So we'll come back and talk. We're talking with Ursula Conway, president of the Arizona chapter of the Children's Health Defense of Arizona. And you're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Speaking about jumping in, Sixto Molina just jumped into the studio. Hello, Sixto. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Good to have you jump in and be part of this discussion. We're talking with Ursula Conway. She's the president of the Arizona chapter of the Children's Health Defense. And we're talking about parental choice and vaccinations and government mandates and so forth. We talked at the break a little bit about how political this issue of protecting your children has become and how literally how crazy it's become that political viewpoints are maybe circumventing what the parental rights should be and parental choice could be. What's your perspective on that?
I am extremely frustrated that a health issue has fallen into this abyss of political discourse because it has no place there. We should be opening our hearts and have compassion for all of those who are injured, for the families who are left behind. We should be, I mean, we all love our kids. And so what we should be focused on is how do I give my kid the best opportunity for the healthiest and most joyful life? And that has no political influence.
Right. Right. It's not a left side or right side or party affiliation. It's let's do the best thing for the kids.
Right. And the other thing that happens is that people get so passionate about it that it's hard to have a conversation. And that's really what needs to happen. We need to understand the extent of autism and ADHD and even asthma and how that may or may not be influenced by the medical procedures that are going on. We need to be able to engage. And that's been challenging.
And part of that whole discussion is just the fact that our nation and our local municipalities have debase themselves into a right and left, or either you're on my team or you're not, and I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. And it's hard to have a discussion about something like this that's can be so personal, because people take sides, and once they take a side, they stop listening to the other side.
That's absolutely true. And there's another layer in that you have a federal government with many agencies, and then we have local government agencies as well. And so if you talk, for instance, to the Pima County Board of Health and ask them, where do you get your operating reference? Right. It is all coming from those federal agencies. And even when you introduce studies or analysis that's contrary to what is being fed from the federal government, difficult to get them to listen as well.
Yeah, Sixto and I saw this on the political side that, you make any kind of a comment and then the other side is coming back with something else, right?
Yeah, they're ready to jump on you. It doesn't matter what you say.
Right, right. So if you're passionate about something that you think is right and the other side holds that to not be sacrosanct, and they say, okay, they're going to go after you and go after you. Then they start going after you personally and look at the result for the child and those decisions that need to be made for the child. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up on Sunday at Grace St. Paul Episcopal Church. It's you have a little event happening, correct?
We do. Doors open at 3:30 and film starts at 4. We are screening the movie Anecdotals, which is a really kind, compassionate look at people who were affected by the COVID vaccinations. These are ordinary citizens from around the country, and their stories are really interesting. Obviously, the medical impact, their injuries are tragic. But what also happened is that doctors wouldn't listen to them. Mm-hmm. The pharmaceutical companies, in some case, some of these people were part of the trials, and the pharmaceutical companies were of no value. Once again, the NIH ignored them. They may have talked to them for some period of time, but then the NIH turned away. So these people who were doing their civic duty by getting the injection that they were told was safe and effective have been abandoned by medical professionals, by the government agencies who had recommended the shots. It's as I say, it's a kind, compassionate look at the plight of these people. And really, we hope that it serves to open people's minds to the fact that they are people, not a political agenda. Following the movie, we do have the director of that movie, Jennifer Sharp, who will be appearing. Following the movie, we have a Tucsonan, Dr. Vliet, Elizabeth Lee Vliet, who has been treating many people who've been affected by COVID, long COVID, and vaccine injuries in general, not just COVID vaccines. And so she's going to be talking about her approach to reestablishing your individual health, your immune system, and some of the protocols that you can use for the vaccine injury. By the way, brain fog is one of the greatest, most common symptoms that people are having as a result of that.
Now I know what I can... I was blaming that on old age, Sixto. Actually, I was blaming that on running for mayor. I think I had brain fog when I decided to run for mayor. That's when the brain fog set in that I would actually make that decision. So we've had a little bit of brain fog talk in our lives, yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
One of the things that just pops into my mind is that how many, what is the percentage of people that, and do we know the percentage of people who did get the vaccine who are now compromised in some way, or is that another statistic that's a little fuzzy or foggy?
It is incredibly difficult to get good numbers to draw those types of conclusions. We know that there were more than 32,000 deaths reported to VAERS from the vaccine, and there were well over a million incidents in general reported. I think 140,000 required a hospital visit. So the injuries were significant using VAERS as a guideline. Mm-hmm. By the way, one thing I forgot to mention is that part of the impetus for this event, the two events, Sunday and Monday, we haven't gotten to Monday yet, is the release of a book by Brian Hooker and RFK Jr. called right. Vax Unvax. Mm-hmm. And what we've been missing from our government health agencies is a comparison of vaccinated and unvaccinated children. And this book is brilliant from my perspective because you don't even have to read all of the text. It may be a 250-page book, but it is absolutely littered with charts. Mm-hmm. And my recommendation, I've been giving this to a lot of young people who are about to have children.
Right.
And I say, please do me a favor. Just look at the chart on page 14. Look at one chart, and I think it's so compelling that you'll want to go through and look at them all. There are roughly 100 studies that compare vaccinated and unvaccinated children, and they tell the story that unvaccinated children are healthier overall. So you may prevent a child from getting measles, but they may have other issues down the line. So Vax Unvax came out at the end of last year. There is a 42-foot bus
traveling the country. Coming Monday, right?
Yeah, that'll be, we're hosting that at Brandy Fenton Park back in the equestrian area. And the Vax Unvax bus is interviewing people who have been affected both by vaccine injury and by any of the pandemic protocols. I'm sure you've heard stories of people who had loved ones in hospital they couldn't visit. There was no way they could be an effective patient advocate. And those stories are heartbreaking.
Right. Okay, so we have an event Sunday at 3:30 at Grace St. Paul Episcopal Church, or the Vax Unvax bus will be at Branty Fenton Park on Monday, the 26th. So if you want to get involved in that, they can go to the Children Defense Health Defense Arizona Chapter website and get some more information, correct?
Correct.
Great talking with you today, Ursula Conway. This is Jump in Tucson. I'm here with Sixto Molina. Thanks for being here today, Sixto.
Thank you, Ed.
Wonderful Friday. If you'd like to be involved in Jump in Tucson, give us a call and we'll get you involved in either an interview or some advertising. And thanks for being here today. And that's it.